します。
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. I sing of mercies that endure, forever builded, firm and sure, of faithfulness that never dies, established, changeless in the skies. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 241.
Thank you.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 110, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn, I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Ian and Marietta Brewer, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-faithful, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou dost give in our midst another child, born within the confines of thy covenant. Thou dost give it unto these parents. Lord, remember the mother, remember the child. Give strength, give health. Humble them before thee. And wilt thou give what we can read in thy holy word? And what thy servant did say, we will not hide from our children. And what our fathers have told us, that they might set their hope in God and not forget his works, but keep his commandments. Lord, remember them together as a family, but all of us. For there are many parents, there are many children born among us continually. Thou dost bless us undeservedly. Could it please thee to give also new births in our midst? For we cannot miss this blessing, both in young and old. New life from the dead. And we have made ourselves so unworthy. But thou takest reasons out of thyself, and thou hast promised it unto thy dear Son in that covenant sworn between thee and him in that great eternity, and that thou wouldest give unto him a seed that would serve him that we may desire as individuals, whether we are young or old, that we may also be part of that seed of thee, and that we may be given by the Father unto the Son, that we may be one with him, we may consider it in these weeks, how that he was promised to come into this world and to take upon him our nature, that we may be united to him, or that we may be given to see the wonder, for our sins to testify against us, prevailing day by day. But we can read that thy servant did say, thou wilt show us mercy and take them all away. Oh, could it please thee to look on us and on our dear children, and that we may have longings also, longings in our soul, not for the goods and the glitter of this world that passes away, but longings for the true and the living God, and longings for his dear and only begotten Son. Thy servant did say, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Oh, that that may be amongst us also, a hoping in thy holy word, a reading in thy word, a searching in thy word for that which we see not, for that which we know not, and that we may be given that hope of thy true church, and that thou wouldst draw near unto them also where that they are. Therefore thou knowest the longings that live in their hearts. And thy servant did say, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. O God of Israel, the Savior. And so it is experienced so often in the heart of thy people. Lord, thou art so hidden unto them, but they cannot do without thee, whether they feel it or not, in the condition of their life, so often so slothful, and so undeserving, leaving thee with as days without number. But thou knowest the fire that thou hast kindled, though that it be so very small. And though they fear that so often and that it has gone completely out, yet thou who art the beginning art also the ending, and the Alpha and the Omega, and thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for me hast undertaken, thy servant did confess. Lord, then they need thee to finish it. When thou hast begun it, because they could not begin it, and they cannot uphold it, and they cannot finish it. Thou knowest their place this day. And when they are sitting in thy house of prayer or at their home maybe, Lord, remember in thy mercy, visit us with thy salvation. Take away our darkness and give us a little light. Light by the power of thy most Holy Spirit. Thou sayest, I am the light of the world. And indeed there is no darkness, and if thou mayest dwell in us, and then we also shall be a light in the midst of the world, and a candle set upon an hill in the midst of the congregation. O Lord, wilt thou raise such up? Wilt thou raise thy people up? and wilt thou put away all evil. Therefore thou knowest our hearts and what lives therein. It is all naked and open before thee, with whom we have to do, and we have to give an answer to thee. Therefore all that lives within us and what comes forth from us, from our mouth, it all comes out of our heart. Thou sayest it all defiles the man. The wretchedness that lives within our hearts, all give to us. That true remorse, and not remorse only, but also a true sorrow, born out of love for thee and for our neighbor. Bless thy holy word to that end. Care for us as a congregation. Be thou in the midst of us day by day. For there are many needs, but they are not all public. Lord, thou knowest the cares, the concerns of husbands, wives, parents, children, grandparents, those that are afflicted with serious diseases. Children, we understand, still in the hospital. Wilt thou care for them? And wilt thou give in the days of youth our young people that tender fear of thee, and that they may learn to love thee with all their heart, might, and strength, and that they may in the days of their youth seek the knowledge of thee, which thou dost promise to bless with thy own, with finding of thee. Lord, remember all the afflicted ones. Remember those that do suffer persecutions in the midst of this world. Uphold them. Remember the student and the theological instructors, where that they are day by day and going forth to speak in the midst of the congregations, and that the time may come, and that he may come also unto this land. And that thou would work it out, and thou art able to do it, for thou hast the heart of kings in thy hands. Remember all our rulers that reign over us. Give wisdom, discretion, strength, diligence, faithfulness, and justice and judgment, the tender fear of thy most holy name. And bring us back again to thy word and to thy testimonies. Care for our teachers, principals, school board, and all that labor within and for our children. Give them a strength and help from above. Give our youth also that sense of appreciation for all that their parents do for them, and for all that the congregation does for them, that they may be instructed in the things of thee and in the truth, that they may not be led astray, and that in their youth they may be given a love for thee. A love for thee, O Lord, bind then thy word upon their young hearts, and bless all the means that are being used, catechism instruction, the instruction in the home also. Remember us all together then as a congregation. Unite us, O Lord. Unite us round about thy holy word and around thy holy truth. Wilt thou humble us under all thy great goodness? Remember us also when we hope to meet as male members for the purpose of electing an office bearer. Lord, it is all in thy hands, and thou dost give office bearers in thy church. All we ask of thee, and that thou may thyself remember us as a congregation and give to us thy blessing undeservedly. Help thou in this day, help thou in this service, do strengthen us. and for the labor of our hands continually, Lord, give us a richer measure, if it could please Thee, of instruction of Thy Spirit, and that we may be able to enter a little into the blessed mysteries of Thy holy word. For we are of ourselves foolish and so ignorant. But Lord, we need to be led by Thee, and Thou hast promised it unto us. Oh, may it be as a little instrument for the sake of Thy people who do hunger, who do thirst, who do wander. And then we need so much wisdom and instruction ourselves. And Lord, use us for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom, that new ones, young and old, may be born in Zion. And could it please Thee to include us too, that we might have a little part. May it be yet in Thy kingdom, even as a doorkeeper. In Thy house, Lord, bless us undeservedly, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 200, stanzas, all the stanzas. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest regions shall His empire be. They that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute, nations serve our King. 1-4 of Psalter 200. Beloved congregation, there is no more important and precious knowledge than the knowledge of God. Do you agree with that? Do you desire that, the knowledge of God? That is a desire that is born in regeneration. Are you regenerated? Regeneration was the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. That is a work of God, and the work of God never changes. And therefore, the promises concerning the prophet that was to come, that we heard about last time, they were as dear to them as they are to the remnant that still exists upon the earth in our days, the remnant of the Lord. Do we also belong unto that remnant with desires and a need for the instruction of that great prophet? A prophet is one of the offices of Christ, and it is therefore one of the offices that is represented also in his church. What are those offices for? The offices are for the benefit of the true people of the Lord. For their sake they are given. But ignorance is not the only consequence of the fall. There are many other consequences, like weakness, like guilt. Thus, there is not only an office of prophet, but there is also the office of a king, and there is also the office of a priest, all for the benefit of that true remnant of the Lord. What do you think of those offices? Did those offices, one perhaps of those offices, ever become precious unto you? How do they become precious to us? Well, they become precious to us in the knowledge of ourselves, especially in the knowledge that I cannot help myself. Then I need those offices. Thus, it is especially the experience of the poor. Because what is a poor man? A poor man is a man that is not able to help himself. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. If he could help himself, he would not be a poor man anymore. Right, young people? But what is their destruction? That is that inability. He cannot come out of that poverty. There is nothing in him that can help him. It needs to come from the outside. David, he says, he saved me when I cried to him, though I was poor and weak. That is now the song of the redeemed forever. He saved me when I cried to him, though I was poor and weak. Our text for this afternoon can be found in Psalm 110, the first two verses. Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So far the words of our text, Christ's kingdom prophesied. First, the king of this kingdom. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The king of this kingdom. Second, the extension of this kingdom. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And third, the dominion of this kingdom. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Christ's kingdom prophesied. First, the king. Second, the extension. And third, the dominion of this kingdom. The Lord said unto my Lord. Who writes that? That is David. That is the king of Israel. And there are here two times that it says Lord. You have to see that when it's written, young people. You see it says here two times Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. And then you see a difference how it is written, right? The first time it says Lord, and then it is all capital letters. So that is the name of Jehovah. And that is the covenant God of Israel. And then David says that the Lord, Jehovah, he said unto my Lord. That is not then the word Jehovah, but Adon or Adonai. That means Lord or Master. And that's many times, most of the time in the Bible, that's used about people. Sometimes about the Lord, but mostly about people. When we had a Lord and a servant or a Master and a servant, and then that word Adonai was used. So it is very important for us to know just who and that David is here speaking of, that he is writing about. He speaks about my Lord. So that is often used of men. Is he then speaking about some man in this world? Well, we don't have to argue about this, because the Bible in the New Testament, that says clearly who David is speaking about, and the Lord Jesus himself says clearly who that David is speaking about. Because in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and then he quotes Psalm 110 that is often quoted in the New Testament. He quotes this portion, and he says to the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say, the son of David. And then he refers to this portion, and he says, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. He calls him my Lord. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he then his son? If he calls him his master, if he calls him Adon, Adonai, how is he then his son? And the Pharisees cannot answer him. They cannot answer him. But the Pharisees, when they cannot answer him, they do not say, well, you are not referring to the right person. They do not say, well, you take that out of context, because David in the Old Testament is not speaking about the Christ here, because he said, what think ye of Christ? Then they do not object to the reference he makes in the Old Testament. No, because they agreed very well that David, and it is well known that David in Psalm 110, he is speaking about none other than Christ himself. And if you read, you can find that when you come home, children, in Acts 2, in the day of Pentecost, then the Apostle Peter He also speaks about Psalm 110, and he speaks about that same verse. And if you go to the Corinthians, you find that the Apostle Paul, he again is quoting this same word of David. So it is very clear to us that David is speaking about the Messiah when he says, "The Lord said unto my Lord," Jehovah, that is God the Father, he said unto Christ, he said to the Messiah, who is my Lord. And now David, he is not here speaking about something that God had said before. In other words, he is not speaking about something historical. David is not quoting Moses or anyone else. No, here there is a new revelation. A new revelation. So the Lord has appeared unto David. He was a prophet. And he was inspired by God as a prophet. And the Lord reveals something unto David. Even the structure of this psalm is very striking because there are three stanzas in the original of seven lines apiece, thus the number of the oath and the covenant. So we see how thoroughly prophetic that Psalm 110 is, and prophecy. How did that happen? That was not all given just at the beginning. When did that begin? Our children will know that, right? Genesis 3:15 already, and the Lord, he comes and he speaks to the devil. And he speaks how that Christ is going to come in the future. It's called the seed of the woman, and there we have the first promise for the people of the Lord. But that did not reveal everything. No, that revealed only a few things. And now here a little and there a little. In the Old Testament time, the Lord is coming. While that people are waiting and while that people need instruction, then the Lord is coming to give that instruction unto his people. And here the Lord reveals something unto David. And we know that David was himself a type. He was a type. David was a king. And the Christ, he was to be, in that sense, the son of David. But here the Lord instructs David about this kingdom of Christ for the sake of the subjects of that kingdom. And what does he speak of? He says, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Thus it is Jehovah who is giving unto Christ an office, an office. Thus even the Son of God did not run of himself to seek an office. No, it was his own Father that has appointed him. Is that not a wonder? That for everything that God's people lack, it is all provided by his Father, that he has known from eternity what would be needed in the life of his people, what they could not do for themselves, and that he has appointed a man of great wisdom, of great strength, a divine person, his own Son, that he may help his people in those offices with everything which they cannot help themselves with. No, he did not run. It was God the Father that has appointed Christ to this office. Thus, what a great sin. We can read that in the Bible, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they have looked at that office, and the Lord, and they have interfered or tried to interfere with that office given to Moses by God himself, and the Lord has destroyed them for this sin. The Pharisees, they said that to Christ too. Who makest thou thyself? But Christ did not make himself anything. No, he was given his office by his Father. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What does that speak about? Where did Solomon, children? Solomon, he became king, and then his mother enters into that courtroom, and he gives to her a place. And what place did he give to her? Right here. Right here. Right at his right hand. That was a place of great honor. You do that too? To your mother? To your mother? When your father is not there, then do you listen to your mother, boys and girls? And then not only when we are just little young people, but also when we become older, because Solomon was not just a little child. No, he was a grown man. And then what a place of honor. Oh, what has the Lord given to us in a mother? How would it be if you had to miss children, young people, your mother? And now Christ, he is given by the Father also a place at his right hand. We do not understand that. God is a spirit. He is not placed physically on his right hand, but it is spoken about that God the Father will give unto his Son a place of great respect, a place of great, great honor. He will honor him. Sit thou at my right hand. But it was not only a place of honor and of respect, but it was also a place of great power. Great power. He would be the right hand of God himself. And actually, then you read that further here in verse 5, it says, Jehovah, the Lord, Jehovah, at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. So now we hear about the Father being at the right hand of the Son. So how is that? The Son is at the right hand of the Father, and the Father is at the right hand of the Son. You say, physically, well, that cannot be. No. What does that mean? It is a spiritual meaning. Thus, the Father, he says, then you are, as it were, my right hand. You are at my right hand. I will, because what is that hand? The right hand, that is the hand of power. That is what you do with. Then when Christ is working, then the Father says, I will be there. I will be there to give the fruit, to give the blessing upon the work of thee, my Son. Thus, the Father will work with the Son. It is a place that the Son has received of great honor, of great glory, of great power. For whom? For his people. All for his people. Oh, there is nothing that is taking place in the whole world that is not for the glory of the Lord and then secondarily for the welfare, for the salvation of his church. That is a church that is given unto Christ by the Father. He promised it to him, a seed that should serve him. And now, why does the Lord appoint his Son to this office? This office of a king. Because we heard about the office of a prophet. And that was foretold already in the Old Testament. And now we hear already David so many years ago, and he is foretelling also of his kingship of his kingdom. And what do we read here? We read about enemies. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Do you have enemies? Who's your enemy? If you would have asked the Jews at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's your enemy? They would say the Romans. The Romans are our enemies. So they waited, they looked for that Redeemer, that he may have the victory, may have the preeminence over the Romans, that they may not be subject to the Romans, that they may be freed from that subjection. But you read of Pilate that he says to Jesus, he says, art thou a king then? And then the Lord Jesus says what? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to... to who? To the Romans? No. To the Jews. Then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? Thus, it was not the Romans that were the greatest enemies of Christ. It was the Jews. It was his own people. And they would soon despise and hate him so much that they would crucify their own king. What would he say today? What would he say today? Christ, Christ. If we said, art thou a king then? And if we would say to him, who are now thine enemies? How would he answer us? Who are his enemies? Are they the world? Or would he say they are the people in the church? They are the people in the church. That is a very solemn answer that the Lord Jesus has given unto that Roman governor. Now is my kingdom not from hence. Not from hence. Thus, that is now the kingdom that David is prophesying of. Not a natural kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. That was the great error of that time. The Pharisees, we read, they demanded of Christ when the kingdom of God should come. And Christ, he says, it cometh not with observation. He says, not lo here, not lo there. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. It is spiritual. And those Pharisees, that Jewish people, they were so carnal. Even the disciples did not understand until after he was risen from the dead that it was not to be an earthly kingdom. And we are also, congregation, so carnal. Do you feel that? That is one of the great burdens that is living in the heart of that true church. Carnality. Carnality. Oh, the lack of spirituality. Because if the Lord gives new life, then we love that life. Do you love life? Do you love your life, boys and girls? Your natural life? Do you love that life? Oh, you say, yes, I love that life. I do not want to miss that life. I do not want to lose my life. I do not want to die. We love our life. That is very natural. That is also with spiritual life. And if the Lord gives to you spiritual life, then you will love that life. You will feel that life. What will you feel? Breath. Say, I breathe. Yes. After what? That spiritual life. What does it breathe after? This, that, and that, and that. Does it breathe after God? Does it breathe after God? Does it long after God? That is now spiritual life. And if ever you have experienced what spiritual life is, that hungering and a thirsting after God, you will love that life. You will love that life. Oh, when you may be a little in that life, when that life may be lively, oh, then you say, this is life. Oh, this, oh, let a man come into the church. Let him sit there in the church and let the Lord come and let the Lord revive that life. Let that heart burn a little bit under the preaching of his holy word, under the singing. Oh, do you know what they will say then? They will say, leave me here. Oh, leave me here. I do not want to go from here. Minister, go on and on. It is time. No, go on. I don't want to go out into that world anymore because this is life. Oh, that life that is so sweet. That life that is so enjoyable. Oh, even in the very beginnings. The smallest part of that breathing after him that is forsaking in my heart everything that is in the world, that is going out after the true and the living God. Oh, that is now sweeter than honey. It is sweeter than a honeycomb. Oh, what do they say then? Oh, then they say, he is my king. You know what they want to do then? They want to serve him. Or when they go out that door, then they say, oh, that my heart would love him more than everything else in this world. That I could have no idols in this world, but that I would be always spiritual. Oh, that my heart would always be in heaven where he is. Oh, that I would love his commandments. That I may speak well of him, that I may never sin against him, or that he would rule over me, that he would keep me in a fence, as it were, that I would not go astray to the right hand or to the left hand, or that he might be my king. Then come the vows, I will do this, I will do that, but they cannot keep them. They cannot keep them. Why not? Why not? Because when they are given that life, then they do not lose another life. Then they do not lose what Paul, the Apostle Paul, he calls it his flesh. And he says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. David, he says, my soul cleaveth to the dust, cleaveth to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. It cleaves. That is the burden. That is the burden. Why? Because then they do not feel that life. Oh, they want to feel that life because that life is so good to feel, much better than all the desires that are in this life. Oh, When that spiritual life is given, then the service of the Lord that is coming above everything else in the midst of this world. And if we do not know this, we do not know what spiritual life is. So we can put our own life next to it, our own heart next to it. But David, he now here speaks about the Son of God. He says, he makes a distinction. He speaks about the Father, He speaks about Jehovah, Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. The Lord said unto my Lord. And my Lord, we said that was the Son, that is the Christ. Thus he makes a distinction. A distinction between the Father and the Son. Jehovah and Adonai. That is not a distinction that is known immediately by God's people in that new birth. No, when they say, I want to serve the Lord, then it is that I want to serve God. I love the Lord. I love God. But they do not make a distinction yet between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That has to be learned. That has to be learned. And how is that learned? It is learned by the Spirit's teaching in the continuance of their life. How? In the knowledge of the fall. In the knowledge of themselves. In the depth of their misery. That they have to learn thereby the preciousness of each of the persons in the Trinity. And something of the economy, we call it, of that Holy Trinity. Who now is the Father? Who now is the Son? And who now is that Holy Spirit? They are not easy lessons. They are not easy lessons because they are not lessons that are pleasing to our flesh. But they are so necessary and important because they are now for the glory of God and for the welfare of their soul. But let us sing first. 163:2-3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. And what follows in 2 and 3 of 163. king of this kingdom. Second, the extension of this kingdom. We read, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. So now the person addressed is changed. Now it is speaking to Christ himself. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. What does that mean? Psalm 110 is a very special psalm. Sometimes it is called David's psalm. And in the Cantakening, then we read that it is a short draught of the entire gospel, the whole gospel, in Psalm 110. Jehovah shall send the rod or the scepter, that is what a king does hold, right? Boys and girls, Esther, you know, the golden scepter. Thus Jehovah will send the rod or scepter of thy strength out of Zion. What does that scepter mean? That is speaking about the word of the gospel. That is, he says, it will begin in Zion. That is where the disciples had first to go to preach to Israel. But he says that the Lord will send it out. Send it out from Zion. That was so difficult for the Jews to believe at the time of the Lord Jesus. That the Lord was going to bring in all the nations of the world. Why was it so difficult to believe? Not because it was not foretold to them, because it was written in God's word right here. That was already in the time of David, and they knew very well. And the prophecies, it was more due to their national pride. They did not want to understand it. They did not want to accept it. Why? Because it is very nice to be considered the special people, the privileged people of the Lord, but they were soon going to abuse their privileges and deprive themselves of their privileges when they clave. When they clave to what? When they clave to the dust. To the dust. When they clave to their carnal religion. And when they despised that spiritual religion that the Lord Jesus restored. And when he came, he did not, was nothing new. That was from the beginning. That was the true religion. And the Lord Jesus restored it unto his people. But they hated it, and they hated him for it, and they crucified their king. Jehovah shall send the rod or scepter of thy strength out of Zion. So here, the Lord declares the inclusion of the Gentiles. The Lord says, I'm going to break down that middle wall of partition. And he is going to, do you know who gets included here? Europe, United States, Canada, Fort McLeod. The Lord says, Jehovah shall send the rod of the scepter of thy strength out of Zion. Is that not a wonder? Ever a wonder to us? Oh, let us not abuse it. In our pride, so long ago already, that the Lord has prophesied of this, foretold and promised it. For what reason? So that those who are on the ends of the earth may desire it, may long for it, may pray for it, may wait for it. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be all the way out here. All the way out here. That must become a wonder to us. And now what is that rod? What is that scepter? It says it is a rod of strength. It's the rod of a king. Is that weak? Is that weak, that scepter? Oh, when Esther, she waited for it. She was just looking, and she was watching that scepter. And you say that was just a little thing. But when the king held it out, it was a matter to her of life and of death. Is that a little thing? That is a thing, congregation, of great power. Great power. And that word of the gospel, that is also something of extremely great power, and it is a matter for us, whether we realize it or not, it is a matter for us of life and death. It is not just a weak thing. It is not just a mere offer, just a mere offer that men can accept or reject while God sits on his throne as an idol and a weak spectator, seeing what people will do with it. That is to make the king weak. Then we have to rewrite the Bible. Then we have to say the rod of weakness. No. The Bible says the rod of strength. Are you glad with that? Are you glad with that? You know who's glad with that? Weak people. Weak people. They say, Lord, convert me. Lord, I cannot convert myself. I have no power. I am dead. There are people. They are glad with that rod of strength. And they cannot do without such a rod of strength. Oh, it is a scepter of strength. It is going out to conquer. It is going forth to conquer. And it is fulfilling every single one of the decrees of God, certainly, surely, without a doubt. The rod of strength, irresistible, to break the hardest heart. Do you believe that? Did it ever break your heart? Did it ever make your heart to melt? The most stubborn will. Saul of Tarsus, stubborn will. Oh, one moment, and it melts. It melts like wax. And then the Lord, he takes that wax in his hand, and he forms it. He forms it just into a vessel that will be to his honor. Oh, that rod of strength, oh, let it be the foundation of your supplication, you who cannot do it for yourself. You who cannot do it for yourself. You who wait and wait and wait and long and long and long, now go lay it before the Lord. And show it unto the Lord. Take your Bible. And you point it to the Lord and say, Lord, it is thy rod of strength. Here I am. Here are my children. I have no power. Oh, that we might set, congregation, our hope in God, the King. That is why he is preached. That is why his power is preached. That is for those who are weak, those who are unable, those who are dead. That is to his glory. And he wants to be glorified, and his Father will glorify him as that king. But we hear that further in our last thought. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. What does that speak about? Our last thought. That is the dominion of Christ's kingdom, enemies. We heard now about enemies. And what is the responsibility? One of the responsibilities of every king, the governor, that is to deal with enemies. The enemies of the kingdom. And if there are enemies of Alberta, then they are your enemies and they are my enemies too, right? Because we are the citizens of Alberta. And the enemies of Christ, the enemies of God, they are also the enemies of the church. Those enemies, they are all one. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And why is it that the people of Israel, they have looked for the Messiah for deliverance? So that is an easy question, right, children? Why do they look for the Messiah for deliverance? Well, because of their weakness, right? Because if they could have delivered themselves, well, then they would have delivered themselves. But when they cannot deliver themselves, well, then they need someone else. They are harassed, they are mocked, they are subjugated, they are punished, they are afflicted, all by these enemies. The enemies of God, the enemies of His kingdom. In Egypt, oppressed, and they felt that oppression. Esther, Mordecai, the king and Haman, they sit down to drink. And the city of Shushan was perplexed. Power, Solomon says, power on the side of the oppressor. And those that are oppressed, they have no power. Oh, the earth is filled with violence. The earth is filled with oppression against God, against His people, against His kingdom, and we are spared for the time, but we do not know how long that we are spared. So let us not lift up ourselves as if we are anything different, or that time is not soon coming also for us and for our children. But those are not the worst enemies for the church of God. Although they say with Jehoshaphat, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, still these are not their worst enemies. Where are their worst enemies? They are in here. They are in here. They are spiritual enemies. And what are the enemies that are in here? The world is in here. The world is in here. And sin is in here. And the devil is in here. Oh, those spiritual enemies. The devil is the first one. And he came already in the beginning, and our fathers, and our father Adam, he did not stand up. He could have. We cannot anymore. We have no strength. He had strength. But it was under the temptation than that will, and that has gone after the devil. Feel something of that in your heart? Said, we will serve thee instead of serving the Lord. Thus, the devil, the first one, with his deceptions, and he remains there, bruising the heel of Christ. Who is the heel of Christ? That is the church. Constantly looking for the life of the church, to destroy that life of the church. John in Revelation speaks about the dragon persecuting the woman who has brought forth that man-child and sending a flood out of his wicked mouth. And we know what has happened in the history, all kinds of heresies, all kinds of errors that he has sent out to try to destroy that true church of God, the enemies of the church. What a great advantage that those enemies do take of the weaknesses and of the frailties of God's people in their boldness that is felt by those people. Or what is more common to hear from their mouth? But Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me, I perish. The greatest enemies, they are within, and they cry out against them. Why? No power. The natural victory over all of our enemies. That is so, such a blessed thing. What a time to live in the time of Solomon. You say, it was so peaceful. All the enemies are subdued. David has gone out after them. All those wars are done, and now it is peace. All the enemies are subject. Yeah? What could David and Solomon not give to that remnant? They were there in Israel, the remnant of the Lord. They were not all Israel that were of Israel, but God's people were there. And what could Solomon, what could David not give to them? They were the kings. They had no power over the enemies that were in their heart. David and Solomon. And now David prophesies of this. He says, there is another king coming. He is not to be the earthly king. He is not to be delivering you from all your earthly enemies. But now, here is the greater deliverance, people of the Lord. Here is the greatest deliverance. When he shall have dominion over all of his enemies. All of his enemies. The enemies of that live in your heart, they are also the enemies of Christ. Do you believe that? Oh, he knows. He knows everything that is living in your heart. God's people have a body. They also have a soul. Do you have a soul? And so what are your enemies? Enemies against the body? Or enemies that war against your soul? Do you have a hard heart? Is a hard heart your enemy? Do you have a carnal heart? Is a carnal heart your enemy? Do you say that carnal heart is going to destroy me? It is that carnal heart that is going to lead me into that eternal pit. Is that a worse enemy to us than all the natural enemies of this world could possibly be unto us? Vanity. Does that live in your heart? Do you ever say, oh, I seek empty. It is so empty. Is that your enemy? Is that who you say is going to destroy you? Deadness, people of the Lord. Deadness of condition. Is that now your enemy? And can a natural king help you? To rip it all out of your heart and to make it different as your heart would like it to be different. What would you prefer? To be delivered now from your natural enemies or to be delivered from your spiritual enemies? If you had to be in the prison, if you had to be in the prison and the Lord with you and a lively heart, the Lord showing you his favor. Communion. Would you choose that over the freedom of this world to go from place to place in this world? Dead. Carnal. Vain. Oh, what would we choose? What is our enemy? Dominion. Dominion. That is now what God's people feel. That is what they fear. They fear. This is what is going to overtake me. Oh, it used to be so different. When I was young, 15 years old, then I remember, they say, oh, maybe this place, that place, in my bedroom, in the bathroom, in my car, the longing. Come up to the house of the Lord. And I think it's gone. I think it's gone. And now they are afraid that that is now going to have dominion. That is now going to have the victory. Deliver yourself. Deliver yourself. They cannot. They cannot. Powerless, helpless. Begin to read. They begin to seek again. Because the Lord says, I have somewhat against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. And there they go again. There they go on their knees again. And so hard. And haven't closed. And they have no power. And they cannot bring it back. Oh, it is the Lord alone. They feel that. Do you experience that too? That felt weakness. A spiritual king. A spiritual king. Oh, the thought. The thought of a spiritual king with power. With power to draw. Power to rule me. With power to keep me from going astray. Oh, that is to them so drawing. And then to think that he would be a man. A man and God. Both at the same time. Oh, how near it brings them. How dear that it makes him. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Does not say that they will be destroyed. They will never be destroyed. Never. You read of this world, the heavens, they are going to be rolled together as a scroll. But these enemies will never be destroyed. They cannot be destroyed. Why? Because they are spiritual. And a spirit cannot be destroyed. A devil cannot be destroyed. A soul cannot be destroyed. God cannot be destroyed because they're spirits. And a spirit is a simple thing. Simple in the sense it is not composed of parts. It cannot be deconstructed. Cannot die. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. They are devils. They are men. They will never be annihilated. What will they be? They will be punished. They will be subjugated. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God shall have them in derision, all that fight against him and all that fight against his people. While the temporal things remain, oh, he will rule in the midst of them. He was in the midst of them. Ever read it like that? You read that in the Bible. When the Lord Jesus, he was in the midst of this world, then it is always all those enemies always around him. Oh, you say, how tired. How tired in his flesh that he must have gotten. Oh, sometimes he could go away just with his disciples. How good that was. And they go together out on the ship. And then soon again, there are those enemies. And they have tried to destroy him. They tried to set him in a trap. And they could not do it. Everything that enemy did. Under whose control was it? Under his control. Under his control. His people, they're often perplexed, but he was not perplexed. No, it was all under his control because his church was under his control. And it was all that he was fulfilling the counsel of his own father to bring in his own people. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. You know what Paul says? He says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Will that ever be destroyed? Not in and of itself. It also cannot be destroyed as a thing in and of itself. But do you know what he did? Oh, he made it into a friend for his people. It is under the rule of this king, under the rule of Christ. And he turned that death into their final deliverance, into their deliverance from all of their enemies. When that death comes, then they're going to serve him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In his human nature, in his divine nature, without carnality, without vanity, without deadness of soul, with no more enemies. All we read of Simeon, he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all people. He saw it. He saw it with his eyes for just a moment. You ever see it? The salvation of the Lord from all those enemies. He saw it for a moment by faith, and he rejoiced in it for a moment. But now forever. Now forever, in the service of that King. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou as King of thy church, with thy scepter, thy rod of strength, wilt thou come as the mighty one unto us and unto our children, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that we may be drawn to the service of thee. For thou art such a good king, and thou dost all for the sake of thy father and thy people, even giving thyself unto death, the death of the cross, and that thy people might live, and that they might love and serve thee forever. O, show unto us, for the first time or by renewal, the blessedness of that service, and wilt thou bring us in as subjects of this King. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 319, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea, and set my soul at liberty. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 319.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.